didn't mean to wake you up with that much force. So I'll try to find the balance. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Father's house. We are on a journey to discover how to make disciples Jesus' way. For you that were not here last Sunday, I strongly recommend you go to our media on our website and find part one of Making Disciples Jesus' Way, because you're going to catch up certain things that I'm not going to have time to repeat today. But it's exciting to me that we have joined God the Father on a journey in His mission to make followers of Jesus Christ. And so this morning we're going to continue to discourse how to make disciple Jesus' way. The one thing that we established last Sunday is that we enter, what was it? The marketplace. We enter the marketplace. And the marketplace we all negotiate our place in is really a global marketplace. We don't live in isolation anymore. That is why this morning you're hearing all of those needs that actually have Ukraine on the forefront of our news coverage. We have other countries that have been in dire need of the Christians around the globe to begin to enter it purposefully so they can see what God may do in the midst of those countries. But I do want to say this. We live in a country where God has something to do in this marketplace. And the question is, have we entered the marketplace? And if we have entered the marketplace, are we seeing the way Jesus sees? So today we're going to go part two to learn how to make disciples Jesus' way. Last time we talked a lot about what the marketplace in this country looks like. And we talked about the number of churches we have and the number of seminaries we have. And the number of people that identify themselves as Christians. And if I remember correctly the stats I quoted to you last time, 118 million people in our country identify themselves as going to church every Sunday morning. Wow. 118 million. If that many go to church, you would think that our marketplace would have been infused with followers of Christ. Is that your experience? Out there where you work? Where you go to school? Is that is your experience? Wow. So we talked a little bit about what is the reason for that disparity in what we see. And I want to begin with that. It is the sacred secular divide that we have experienced in this country. Christians, the followers of Christ, have decided to exit the public square, felt comfortable walling ourselves within the church walls, and have sat for a while separate from the marketplace. In reality, what we have done is we have rewritten the Great Commission. Jesus Christ, before He ascended to the Father, He said to His followers And by the way, at that time, 2,000 years ago, for a century, his disciples were a handful. They were not too many. But right before he would ascend to the Father, he said this. Now, since all authority has been given unto me, don't worry about you being empowered, since I will empower you. Read all of that into, since all authority has been given unto me. You, my followers, now go, 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 go into the marketplace and make followers of me. Make disciples. Now, 2,000 years later, we have decided it is much safer to show who God is by exiting the marketplace and rewriting the Great Commission from go to them to come to us. We have successfully achieved what I call the sacred secular divide. We have divided certain spheres of life and we have set those away. You can find God in the midst of them. And it is in the church, and it is in the Sunday school class, and it is in the small groups, and it is in the Bible study, and definitely during prayer time, and also when you go and experience a youth convention with 2,000 people that follow Christ. This is the place where God is. And there are places out there. We wonder if you will find God. We wonder if we're going to find God in the public schools anymore. Since we have kicked out the prayer, and since we do not start our day with prayer, we have declared that God has exited the public school. We look at our politics and the places that politics happen. And since now we argue, that Christianity is not the primary focus, or shouldn't be anymore, we say, God has exited the politics of this country. We go to our workplace, and we have very little expectation to find God in the middle of the work marketplace. For we either see it as highly secular job, there is no professed confession of the core values or the mores that we read in this book, and we assume that God has left the workplace. We definitely go to the movie theaters and do not expect to find God there. Now, for me personally, I can only stomach up to PG-13. I don't want to influence you, but I keep my ears. I kind of screen what I want to listen, okay? My ears are somewhat sensitive, and for that reason, I do not watch R-rated movies. But it's interesting that we assume that you cannot find God in the middle of creative activity. And God has left the movie industry altogether. God does not walk in the halls of the artists. In some of their paintings, honestly, I do not understand. Now, I'm an artist myself, and I do paint. But I think I paint things that you can understand as you look at them. That's, of course, a very subjective opinion of my own artwork. So we think that as we walk in different spheres of life, if it is not church, if it doesn't officially proclaim the core values that are written in the 66 books of the account that God left about himself, then he, God, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the human race, has exited the marketplace. We think God is nowhere to be found. And that part where we see as being distant from God, we dub to be the secular part of society. And we feel safe only to engage the sacred sphere of society. 2,000 years later, that's the reality we walk into. But I want to say, this is nothing new. This sort of reality actually is 2,000 years old or older. If we go back all the way to the Old Testament and look at the behavioral patterns that the people of God had as they had to model who God is to the nations that had no clue about who the real maker and creator of heaven and earth is. But I'll only rewind this back to 2,000 years ago. So the separation of sacred and secular is not anything new. It is as old as the New Testament. And we actually read this discourse last Sunday, but for the sake of those of us that were not here, I'll go ahead and read it again. It is found in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And I will show you that separation of the marketplace, of what is sacred and what is secular, permeates this passage. And then we will go in and look to find those nuggets that we can draw out of there. And maybe we can find the pattern of how we can make disciples Jesus' way. So let's go ahead and read Mark 2, 13 through 17. This is what Mark's account about this event is. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." See, that divide of sacred, secular space didn't begin with you and me. It began with the religious teachers of Jesus' day. They expected that Jesus, if he had any claim on any divine activity or any connection to God, then that Jesus would guard his space and he will never be found in the space of the sinner. So, just imagine the shock that as Jesus repeatedly, as this text says, he once again entered the area of the lake. So Jesus once again went out there in the marketplace, and as he walked the marketplace, he did not separate sacred from secular. Didn't look at people and said, "You're righteous, you a sinner, I'm not going to associate myself with you, but you look righteous enough, then I can talk to you, and you're really sinful, and I can see your deeds, and I have nothing to do with you." That wasn't his pattern of behavior. That wasn't his pattern of association. This is not the relationships that Jesus was building. So he did everything that the teachers of the law, or the Pharisees, really the leading pastors at that time, those that pastored the people of God, that taught them what God meant into all of his writings, into the scripture that they held in their hands, which was the Old Testament at that time. They were explaining who God is to the rest of the Israelites. Those people thought very poorly of Jesus. And when they saw him communicate with somebody that they knew had to be separated from the sacred space of Jesus, they came real hard after him. And they went and began to argue, not just with Jesus, but with his followers as well. Why? Why is Jesus entering the sinner's space? I'll tell you why. We think God has exited the marketplace, but God has always entered all of our spaces. We think God only is interested in some of the spheres of life, but I want to tell you that God is God of all of life, and he enters, and he is interested, and he has something very important to say about every activity human beings do. So God, being God of all of life, Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, walked the streets of first century Galilee, showing that God never exits. He always enters, and he enters all of life, and he's in the middle of the marketplace. So last time, I asked you, do you remember what was my challenge last Sunday to you? What? Go enter the marketplace. Go enter the marketplace. Because I do believe that what we read in the Bible is for our instruction, and it has great strategy if we're only going to apply that. So as we begin to walk the marketplace, I'm sure you experienced things. So I want to hear a few of your experiences of what happened as you entered the marketplace, just in a sentence or a word, whatever you found, whatever you discovered there.
Well, I work in a public school system, and I am a counselor working with lots of students and families, and what I've found is there are lots of anxious and stressed out and just demoralized people. Mm. And I love the song that's sang by, Toby Mac. Speak Life.
Speak Life. Thank you, Sandy. Mary.
Good morning. I found openness just by listening. That is pretty powerful to a world who is so busy making so much noise. But if you just listen,
they will hear you. Amen. Brenda.
So I work on the base, and I do flight test engineering. But I think the biggest thing that I've found when you start bringing Jesus to the marketplace with you is that it gives you a sense of purpose. It gives your work a sense of purpose. It's no longer just the day-to-day grind anymore. You now have a purpose because you know that Christ has placed you in that particular situation for that period of time, however long it might be. It gives you a sense of purpose for your work. It's no longer just the job that brings home the paycheck.
Amen. Glenn.
Well, we had some opportunities to share that I'd been kind of postponing. And then when we received the challenge, I said, well, okay, we'll go out and see what we find. And people were open and actually wanting to know more. And so mm-hmm. It's really just step into the gap.
All right.
I wasn't here last week, but this works every day. I don't know if any of you know me, but I'm Steve, Lisa's husband. Something that I've discovered in the workplace is that there are plenty of broken men out there. And my challenge for myself is to dare them to be like Jesus. We're learning about this now, how to be a man.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And some of you entered a different marketplace this weekend.
This weekend, we experienced powerful worship, strength like no other. That Friday night, I didn't tell this to my group, and I was, but I'll tell you, y'all. As we were worshiping, and our hands are up, 2,000 hands are up to the Lord, just worshiping, and I felt like my bicep grew 2 inches. I felt so strong and so filled that I don't think anyone out there could hold me down from getting up and worshiping Him. So I experienced strength and unity.
But Colby, what was your experience this week? At school. You can get up so they can see you.
My name's Colby Kasich. I go to Great Mills. And, you know, when you go to a high school, it's lots of personalities, lots of different people. And the thing is, number one thing about high school is you got to surround yourself with good people. And that may be hard to do. I lost a lot of good friends from 8th grade to 9th grade just because of the way they changed, and it's really sad, and it was a hard transition, and thank God I was in sports and stuff, because there was just a lot of bad people, and you know, all you can do is pray about it, you know. Yeah. It's different in high school, and I try to tell people that are going into high school in the youth group that you know, you really have to surround yourself, and that when God tells you to send a message to someone, you have to be obedient. That's something I'm learning to do. When I hear something from God, I'm trying to learn to be confident about it and tell someone what I hear. And I'll be at high school, and I do this time to time, but sometimes I get scared. But, you know, I'll get a message, and I'll tell someone, and they'll just be like, okay. And then they'll just walk off. But, you know, it's one of those things you say, well, I did my good deed of the day, you know? And I hope to change someone. I think that God puts me at Great Mills to change someone. Mm-hmm. God puts me in sports to change someone.
Praise God. Praise God. We found purpose with those biceps that all of you guys were getting this weekend. So, Natalie.
When I was at the Potomac Youth Conference, I went down to receive healing, and I just had an amazing experience. And I had received healing, and the chains are broken, and I am freed from all of my burdens and sins. And I felt freed, and I feel just like I can do anything with God.
Amen. Amen. So some of our youth entered into an environment where they can build their spiritual muscles so they can go out in the marketplace and be that beacon of hope.
So my name is Michaela, and I've always been conscious of worshiping or just doing activities at school. So I'm also an ROTC at Great Mills High School, and so I've been signing up for activities for sports that we're doing or cleaning up the trailer that we're in. And so when I went to the youth conference, everybody there was participating and were Christians and were open to that. So that just made me more free to do what I wanted to do instead of being conscious of other people.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Two final ones. Who wants to go first?
Hi, my name's Hunter, for those that may not know me. At this youth conference, it was really a powerful and different experience. I actually had one of those, you know, those times where you just really feel God's presence, and you cry and cry and don't know why you're crying, but you're just sitting there and you're weeping, and you feel like you could have just made the whole, flood the whole place with your tears. Yeah, I had that kind of experience, and I just... you know, and he really had touched my heart, and I felt like my eyes were more open to see that, yeah, I go to church, you know, my dad's a pastor, you know, and I come, and I, you know, I live this life for Christ, but to feel that God has more for me than just to be here, you know, with other believers, but to actually go out in the marketplace and actually go show, like how Colby out here is in his high school being unashamed of his faith, being unashamed to do the work of Christ to others that may not believe or reject it, you know. He's going out there to just show them how to show his loves, to be his hands and his feet, as we're called to be. So,
praise God. Praise God.
My name is Brian, and like Hunter said, if you don't know me, and I was really blessed to go. Now that I'm in high school, I'm growing, and I was kind of going and expecting something to happen, and I did. Just kind of as Hunter felt God's presence, I felt God's presence with kind of joy as I just focused on the words that I was singing while we would worship, because most of it was worship, and it was really fun. We got our iPhones out, and, you know, like, we were waving them, and so, but it was the first time I ever kind of was really joyful in God's presence, and kind of, you know, was crying just because I was just joyful, and I think this has helped me become less caring about what people think and more open to, you know, proclaim God's name. And so I think this has empowered me to make a change where I am, even, you know, how I want to. And the other thing is that the message was really shout, but the reason for that is because how much God loves you and how much he pursues you, and it doesn't matter what you're going through or anything, but God's awesome love, and the preacher really brought that, and so it was awesome.
Praise God. So God gives us those snippets of recharging our batteries, of flexing some muscles, building the faith muscles that we need. He meets us here on Sunday morning. He met the youth on Friday and Saturday. He gives us those refreshers in our lives just because he loves the lost world. And he has asked us to go to enter the marketplace in order to make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. So we know all of those things. We get excited about entering the marketplace. Are you excited about entering the marketplace? I think some of us really on Sunday morning are afraid to go into demanding bosses, high-stressed or high-strung situations, financially challenging situations, working with maybe an employee that you have to fire because that's not going very well, and you're thinking, how are you going to really negotiate all of those things and do them the godly way you need to do and to act? And you're challenged, and you wonder, and you would rather recoil, and you would rather wall yourself in a safe environment. Jesus' life, by the way, wasn't any different than ours. Because in the exciting testimonies that we heard, what I heard repeatedly from you was we entered the marketplace and we experienced people stressed out because of family situation, because of illness, because of mismanagement of funds, because of being placed in the wrong work environment. It is stressful, it is hard, but in the midst of all of that, God is present and strong. If you think that it was any different for Jesus, think again. He goes out there, walks by the lake. He wants to relax, most likely, because at all times there are crowds around him, and they're demanding. They place demands on his time. They're asking for him to go into healing, to be teaching and healing and cast out demons, and again healing and teaching and cast out demons, and again healing and teaching and cast out demons. Maybe you think it's exciting for a short little bit of time, but if you had to walk in Jesus' feet, you would know very quickly why he was telling the people that he was healing, don't go tell anybody. Just go show yourself to the temple and to the priest and show that the leprosy is gone, but please don't tell them who did that for you. Because very quickly, as the word went around that now there is a miraculous healer going around, he couldn't anymore walk freely. He became a celebrity with lots of demands placed on him. And it wasn't easy. He encountered the same stresses, the same uphill battles that all of us encounter every day as we enter the marketplace. But what made a difference for Jesus was the way he viewed those he came in contact with. The Pharisees saw a tax collector sitting in a booth, collecting what should not have been collected. Jesus saw Levi, that was son of Alphaeus. Jesus saw a regular guy that had gone astray. His life wasn't going the right way, but he was created with a different purpose in mind. Jesus saw Levi through the eyes of God. I want to read you Psalm 139, verse 13 and on, says this about Levi, son of Alphaeus. Levi crying out. By the way, this is written by David, but it's the cry out of all of us. And this is what it says. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And for that, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your words are wonderful. I know that fully well. What words? The creative word of Jesus Christ that makes every person that comes into existence. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, so my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. Levi, son of Alphaeus, cries out and says this: how amazing are your thoughts concerning me, God! How amazing are the thoughts you're thinking over me, you, the maker of my soul! How vast is the sum of them! Wow! You know what? Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax collector's booth, had no clue that this scripture is real in his life. That this is truth. But God, the maker of heaven and earth, has not exited the marketplace, didn't leave the sinners and the lowest of sinners alone, but he actually entered his tax collector's booth, and he saw him with the eyes of God. And he knew that Levi, son of Alphaeus, was not a sinner, was not a tax collector only. That wasn't the defining moment for that human being. But that human being was created in the image of God, in his likeness, and it had purpose. And that purpose was to praise and worship the maker and the creator of all the universe. And that purpose was to walk united with God the Father, was to walk in a righteous relationship with God the Father. But without God the Son, who will enter through the divide of sacred and secular and would show mercy and engage the tax collector, Levi was not going to have a second chance. Levi was never going to become Matthew, the gospel writer. So my question to all of us this morning is, whose eyes do we see through? Do we see through the eyes of God? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to open our eyes so we can begin to see? So we can walk through the veil that separates sacred from secular space. So we can engage people. We can bring them to see the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. I want you to watch now a video and just to reflect. Whose eyes do you see through?
Kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? And always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great, lady. Princess of parking. Oh, Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, man. Oh,
it's about time. Let's see, what do I want?
Yeah, could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thanks,
thank you so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Winning again. Unbelievable. What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, watch.
Buddy, come here.
In conclusion today, I really want to ask you a challenging question. Would you ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you see through the eyes of God? Are we ready to allow a transformational touch by the Holy Spirit where the self would die a little bit, little by little? I want my coffee and I want it now, not 4.5 minutes later. But while you want yours and you want it now, would you allow the Holy Spirit little by little by little by little to chisel at you and to begin to transform the insides of who you are? To look more and more like Jesus. So as you walk by the tax collector of our town, as you walk by the drunkard and the thief and maybe a prostitute or just somebody that really doesn't care, would you put the glasses where the Holy Spirit adjusts your vision? And you begin to see them through the formative hand of God. for that person is created in God's image, fearfully and wonderfully created. And God, who is the maker of your soul, has also made this person. And God, who spent numerous hours thinking thoughts over you, envisioning you blossoming and flourishing in community, seeing you finishing the race successfully, also have thought thoughts over Levi, the son of Alphaeus, the tax collector, the worst of sinners. He has also thought formative, transformational thoughts over your neighbor, over your son, over your husband, over your daughter, over that boss that you cannot stand at work, over that employee that ruins it every time something important is on the line. That guy is thinking transformational thoughts over every single human being, desiring that somebody would show them the invisible God in a visible form, just like Jesus walked the streets of Galilee and then of Judea and then of Jerusalem. So whosoever, anyone, without exclusion, without dividing the space of holier than thou, sacred, safe place, but actually entering the most sinful of sinful spaces, so he can show the invisible God to a very practically visible physical existence. Are you willing to be his fullness? Apostle Paul calls you his body, the fullness of Jesus Christ in Ephesians. You, his fullness. Too much pressure, but not much at all. Really, because it's not about you, but it is about the Holy Spirit that is transforming you. And He is transforming you so He can put you on display. The youth that share those wonderful testimonies, God has touched their lives this weekend so He can transform deeper their existence. So their walk in the marketplace would be tangibly visible to the ones without any hope. So I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to become a hope for the hopeless? To display Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, who resides in you? Are you willing to walk Jesus in the marketplace and to open your eyes and to see through the transformative power of God the Father? For He has always had a thought of a second chance for everyone that is walking our streets. I will open the altars. We're about to finish here. I want to invite those of you that may not know the hope of glory, and I'm referring to Jesus Christ, the one that came in physical flesh here on earth to present God the Father, His invisible spirit to us in a physical way, so we can connect, so we can get it. So those of you that have not experienced that God, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who is here this morning and is offering for you to enter a transformational walk with Him, to become your Savior and the Lord of your life. If you have not experienced Him in that capacity, I'm inviting you to make a decision today for Christ. I know you haven't figured it out all yet. You're going to have the rest of your life to figure out who God is. And then the rest of eternity, and you still are not going to exhaust the depth of who God is. So don't worry that you haven't figured it all out this morning. But if your heart has been stirred by the love of God, by the fact that He wants to give you a second chance, I would love to talk to you and pray with you around the altars. But I have a second invitation to the rest of us. Can we all stand up? Those of us that are willing, those of us that are willing to see through the eyes of God as we walk the daily streets of our community, as we go to work tomorrow morning, as we go to school, as we are home wives and as we stay at home parent, as we do all of that, as we negotiate life in the market arena, are you willing to see with the eyes of God? If you are, I'm welcoming you to come to the front. I would like at this point the older workers to come and join me to pray with people and for people.